Welcome to Overwhelming Joy. Are you glowing, growing, or don't know where you're going? Well, you've come to the right place. Together as daughters of the King of Kings, our highest privilege is to faithfully commune with God and humbly walk in obedience to His truth as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. I'm Paulette, and thank you for joining me today. Pull up your chair, Bible, and journal, and pour yourself a cup of joy. Welcome to Table Talk. The topic at the table today is the word confession. When you hear that word, you may be thinking like, dun, 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 because it brings to me the idea of sin. But I hope you enjoy this topic today and see it potentially in a new light. Confession. Let's begin in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, mighty Creator, Father God, Holy Spirit, open our ears and our minds so that we are available for you to reveal your truth to us. Thank you for guiding each one to this very episode to hear and be available for the topic of confession. It's in your Son Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Confession. First of all, let's look it up in the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. Confession, an act of confessing, a disclosure of one's sin. Confession, a statement that is written or orally acknowledging guilt. Confession, a formal statement of religious belief or creed. Now let's go and look at Bible Hub, and let's look at the Hebrew context of the word confess. When you look it up in Hebrew, it brings a whole nother dimension to the word confession. Confession. Praise. Shoot. Give thanks. Confession. To use the hands. To physically throw away like a stone or an arrow. To reveal in worship, reverence with extended hands. To bemoan like wringing the hands. Okay, so let's stop right there and look at this. It literally means to hold out the hand. It physically brings to mind the throwing of something away. I'm automatically thinking of like the Olympics when they're throwing things to see the distance they can get them. And then it comes and brings to mind the lifting hands up in worship. Or when it says wringing the hands and like bemoaning. So I'm like, wow, wow, wow. This is a whole nother dimension to confession. So the root word for it, yad, Y-A-D, literally means to use the hand. And then if we look at yada, Y-A-H-D-A-H pronunciation, spelled Y-A-D-A-H, yada. It basically means to intensively confess, throw out, throw away, either in getting rid of or giving praise and thanks. So I'm like, oh, absolutely, I see it. It's in thanksgiving, it's in glorification, it's in praise to our God, and it's confessing and throwing down and away and releasing and asking Him to forgive us for what is not befitting a daughter of the King. Let's look at some verses. Genesis 29:35. I will praise the Lord. And that uses that same root word, confess. Here's another one, Leviticus 5:5, that he shall confess that he has sinned. But then here's another one, Leviticus 26:40, if they confess their iniquity. So now I'm thinking as throwing our sin away. Let's throw it at Him. Let's throw it down and not pick it back up and not worry about it. We are totally forgiven. But now let's look at 2 Samuel 22:50. That same root word is now used in, therefore I will give thanks to you, O Lord, Now we're throwing up our hands in worship to him. Look at 1 Kings 8:33. If they turn to you again and confess your name. So we're not throwing away sin from us. We're throwing up praises to him. We are confessing that he is God. Here's 1 Chronicles 16:4, to celebrate and to confess and to praise the Lord. So I'm like, okay, wait a minute. I had never thought when I hear that word confession about the wideness of what that word can mean for us. So now I'm putting it together. Isn't it true that in confession, as we are convicted and we are throwing away and out our sin, asking him to forgive us, that we are then confessing that he is Lord in surrender? Aren't we worshiping and praising him for who he is and the fact that he is our Savior, our Redeemer? He will forgive us. He will cleanse us. So I want you to think about how you then pray so you get into that spirit of true confession as this word implies. Let me read some things to you. In Matthew 6, 5 through 8, Jesus teaches us on prayer. Let's read verse 5. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. Verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Verse 7, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Verse 8, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So if we're understanding that text, Jesus began his teaching on prayer here by saying, don't show off. Don't show off. And don't use a lot of meaningless words. Don't be insecure or concerned about how your prayers sound. And do it in private. Do it in worship. Don't do it with the wrong motives. Be sincere. Be available for the conviction by the Holy Spirit so that you can confess your sins and confess him in prayer, praise, and thanks. But when you do pray in public, pray between you and him. Pray honestly, authentically, vulnerably between you and him. And if there's an audience, there's an audience for a purpose, but you keep your prayer personal. Let's look at Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus gives this model Lord's Prayer as an example to his disciples to follow when praying. The prayer begins with personal, reverent address to God himself. Then Jesus demonstrates three petitions focused on the preeminence of God, while the final three focus on personal needs in a community context. So this is basically like a model, almost like a script that we can still use today. Jen Wilkin, author of the book Women of the Word, refers to prayer as a means to communing with the Lord. Prayer is what changes our study from the pursuit of knowledge to the pursuit of God himself. She refers us to the acronym PART, P-A-R-T, as a memory prompt for the key elements of prayer. Praise. Glorify God for who he is first and what he has done, just like the example from Christ. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as earth, on earth as it is in heaven. So thank him, praise him first. Throw out those hands in praise, that kind of confession. Confess his name, confess who he is. Use the attributes and the characteristics of him that you know from the study of the Word of God. Who is he to you? Who is it you need for him to be for you right now? Redeemer, Savior, Faithful One, Giver of Peace. Who is it that you need to meet with that moment in prayer? Then A, admit. Confess to God where you have fallen short. R, request. Ask God to forgive your sin and to meet your needs. And then T, thank. Give thanks to God for who he is again and what he has done. So when I was in education, we would teach our kids how to write. And one of the writing models or scripts was like a sandwich or a hamburger. The top bun and the bottom bun, the first piece of bread and the last piece of bread, should be your opening and your closing statement for whatever it is you're writing about. That's just a good practice for formal writing. That's the same thing with prayer. With what Jen's reminding us is P-A-R-T. Start with praise, end with thank. Start with praise and end with thanks. And in the middle, admit where you are right now. And then request him to meet you there. It's that vulnerably, transparently honest. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. James addresses the believer who lacks wisdom. Wisdom is God-given, God-centered. It's discernment. It's how we get through the practical issues in life. But wisdom doesn't just come. It comes from prayer, commitment, discipline, intentionality to carve out a time and a place and a space and a holy habit. And then God does not hesitate to give it to anyone that is in surrender and in the right posture. John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This also brings back last week's episode about the more we are abiding and inclining our ear and our heart and our minds to him, that his will becomes our will. Reminder, it's not magic eight ball. It's not genie and the lamp. It's not like that. He's not that kind of God. He wants us to want what he has purposed for us. Maggie Combs, in a study called Light and Life to All He Brings, writes this. In short, God will either give us what we ask or give us what we would have asked if we knew everything he knew. I love that. I love that. That guarantees that my prayers are wrapped earnestly in the Holy Spirit for how I'm receiving it and how it's being delivered to God. He understands I'm human. He understands I fall short. He understands I'm selfish. But he also understands that if I knew all that he knew in protection over me, he will modify my heart, my will, my mind, and my desires to meet what is best for me and for those I'm praying for. Maggie continues, the purpose of prayer isn't to bend God to our will, but to bend our will to God's. She then moves into our prayers for our sin and how those should be shaped by confession. In the Christian faith, confession holds two meanings. She says, number one, we need to repent of our weaknesses, our failures, and our sin. And number two, we need to testify to who God is and what he's doing and has done in our life. Okay, there you go. Those are exactly the two images we just spoke of with confession. She's saying, number one, throw away, throw out. How far can you throw that spear of your sin? How far can you get rid of it and remove it from you? And then as you're throwing that hand out and throwing that sin away, throw that same hand up. That's what I now have as imagery with confession. I'm going to throw out my sin, and instead of drawing my hand back, I'm going to raise that finger, hand, arm up to the heavens. I'm going to say, God, release me from the sin of, and God, you are amazing, wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I need your peace. So Maggie shares a simple two-step method of confession. Number one, confess both where you're at and what you need. For example, I am suffering and I need your strength. Number two, confess what is true about God and how it illuminates where I'm at and what I need right now. So consider an attribute of God from His Word and pray it back to Him. For example, Lord, in Isaiah 41, it says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. And then say to Him, I need your strength. I need your help. I need you to uphold my righteous hand. So that's why the reading and studying of His Word is so vitally important to us. He desires for us to know Him more. He desires for us to know His Word. And He loves when we pray His Word back to Him. It is claiming a verse. It is claiming His words in prayer. So I see confession and prayer totally differently now. It is not just weak. It's not just a full surrender and how horrible of a sinner I am, God. It is saying, God, I am a sinner, but you are sovereign. God, I'm in a mess, but you are my Messiah. God, in this rubble, you are my rabbi. It is proclaiming the truth of who He is as you confess who you know you are. So my personal goal is to replace my human sin with His sovereignty. And I pray that for you all, that you realize confessing is a blessed responsibility that we have to get us closer to who He wants us to be. Children of God, daughters of the King, He promises that if we abide in Him, He abides in us. Dear Heavenly Father, forgive me when I fail you. I want to represent to the world who you are and who I can only be through delighting in you, pursuing you daily, and confessing my sins and my failures, and confessing that you are Lord of my life, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Sovereign Lord. Be with us. Impart your word to us as we seek it, as we commit daily to come to you, that we carve out that special time in the secret place for you, that we are real and vulnerable and honest, and that we are okay with saying, God, this is what I need right now, but God, this is who I know you are. Thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for desiring us to be more like your Son, Jesus. And it's in His name we pray. Amen. May we all continue in pursuit of more of God's presence in our lives. With God, we have the power to shift our perspective from what I am dwelling on to who I am dwelling in. I'm Paulette. Join me next time at my table for more overwhelming joy.